Hi, Disney fans. This week, we got the inside scoop on the brand new, limited-time, one-act musical theater production at Disneyland Resort, Rogers the Musical, direct from members of the creative team, as well as Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige.
A classic tale of heroes, time travel, and romance, the show features an amazing cast of singers and dancers telling the story of Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America, joined by Peggy Carter, other members of the Avengers, and guess what? Nick Fury sings!
I'm Hunter.
And I'm Lisa, and this is D23 Inside Disney. Hunter, I am so excited to see this show. I'm really, really excited to see it.
You have not seen it yet.
I saw it at D23 Expo, I must say. And I mean, from the series Hawkeye to that in person, I cannot wait to see this on stage at California Adventure.
I think I remember seeing you at D23 Expo. We may have watched it together. I had the chance to see it at a D23 member event last week, and I did not know what to expect, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was like, I could do this all day, you know?
Just a replay all day of that show. I am so excited that this is now at the Disneyland Resort. And you know what? I don't know if I've told you this, but that's actually where I started, at the Disneyland Resort across the way at Disneyland.
Oh, I did not know that about you, Lisa. Tell me more about that.
I did. I got my start at Disney in the Disney College program. I worked in the stores on Main Street. So the Emporium, Candy Palace. I promise you, the scents of the Candy Palace are still just so soothing to me. I'm like, that was clearly one of my favorite places to work.
Oh,
it really was. It was magical.
That's such a magical place. What a cool place to get your start at Disney.
Yeah. What about you, Hunter? Where'd you get your start?
You know, I've been with D23 6 years now. I started as an intern here, if you can believe that. And somehow, here I am. What happened? I wanted to work for Disney my entire life and was applying all throughout college. And then luckily, I got an interview and, you know, it's been a magical experience the whole way through.
It is. It's a moment, right? Like when you get brought into the company and then it's really just special to see kind of, you never know, every day is a new adventure. And then here we are in a moment like this.
Okay. Do you have a favorite Disney memory?
I do. I remember this as a kid. I grew up in the Bay Area. And so like our vacation was to drive down to Disneyland. And so it was always very exciting. Most of the time we knew. But one time my parents timed it really well that we were just getting in the car. We didn't know, you know, is this Yosemite? Where are we going? I don't know. Fell asleep and then woke up in front of the Disneyland Hotel. And it was holiday season. Christmas trees and there were lights everywhere. And I just remember, you know, literally waking up as a kid out of the backseat, like literally opening my eyes and seeing like Mickey and Minnie, those statues in front of the Disneyland Hotel. And I was like, oh my goodness. I just remember just that really amazing surprise for a place that I absolutely loved going as a kid is a memory that I don't think I'll ever forget. Pretty cool stuff that my parents were able to do. And that's obviously why I like doing this now, because of all those happy, happy moments.
I can really feel that from you, Lisa. When I think back on my childhood and even my adulthood, favorite memories are mostly Disney related.
Right? Yeah. I feel that. What about you, Hunter? What's your favorite Disney memory?
Like I was saying earlier, I wanted to work for Disney my entire life. And so there was this one moment that happened last year that was kind of a culmination of a lot of things. It was at the Legend Ceremony at D23 Expo last year. I think you were there with me, Lisa, actually. And they wanted me to create the intro video for it. And I was like, okay, let's start out with a quote from Walt Disney, from the man himself. And I walked into the Legend Ceremony and I didn't know they were going to do this. They had my five facts about Encanto video playing so you could hear my voice in the room, which was really like, wait, what? And then the intro video started and my dad and my best friend were walking in at the same time. And I was like, my dad's here. And my best friend's here. My parents have been so supportive of like my dreams my whole life. And so then the video starts and Walt shows up and he's like, well, I'm not going to do my Walt voice, but he's like, I hope you enjoy the show. And I'm like sobbing. Maybe that's another way. I'm like Wally. I feel like Wally is a very emotional character. But I'm like sobbing and my dad's there. And then it kicked off D23 Expo 2022. And I was like, I pinch me. This is a dream come true, to add another true to this episode. So yeah, that's to date. That's my favorite Disney memory.
That is really remarkable. I think that that, like, to everything that we've been saying, is what makes this so special, is like a lot of things carry meaning to us. And then in our instances, we're talking about our parents and how we kind of get to share that with them, or they shared it with us first. And then I think that is what's really cool about all of this, is like we build those connections and the memories. I think that is absolutely incredible, Hunter. And I must say, I will add that I'm blown away at those videos that you do. I remember being at Expo and thinking, Hunter, where are you? And I discovered your voice in the room for the first time. And I was like, this is incredible. I love them so much. So congrats on those videos. And then obviously, what an amazing memory.
Congrats to you too, Lisa. What an awesome career you have here. And I think what's so cool is you can go up to pretty much any cast member, and I think they'll have stories about their Disney memories that make Disney so special to them. And so I think that's what makes it a great company to work for.
So, so cool. Speaking of cool things, let's get back to Rogers the Musical. So outside of seeing Rogers the Musical this summer, what are your other top tips for having the best time at Avengers Campus? Are there favorite meet and greets, favorite food, that sort of thing?
Oh man, I love Avengers Campus so much. Can we talk about my favorite restaurant, not only in Avengers Campus, but also California Adventure, Pym Test Kitchen? Have you been there, Lisa?
I have. I love Avengers Campus. You're right. You never know what is in store there. And that is a really fun place.
Yeah, so delicious. I love the not so little chicken sandwich there. That's my favorite. You ever look at those giant phones outside? They have the menu on them, but also like text messages from other Avengers come in. They belong to Hope Van Dyne and Scott Lang. And sometimes I'll just stand there. People think I'm looking at the menu, but I already know what I'm getting. I'm getting the not so little chicken sandwich, but I'm just reading the text messages from the Avengers. Pretty cool.
Absolutely incredible. Yeah, I love Avengers Campus. Nick Fury, I can't wait to see him. Spider-Man, oh my gosh, I love Spider-Man. So yeah, just a really fun place.
So fun. Okay, speaking of Rogers the Musical, if you could give the musical theater treatment to another Avenger, who would it be and why?
Okay, so I'm going to go with Scarlet Witch. I will say I adored WandaVision. I thought it was such a cool, creative take on like going back to the sitcoms that I personally grew up watching. I love Lucy and things like that. I absolutely love those kinds of shows. So I thought it was super cool and creative how they took us through Wanda's story. Let's do a musical now. We got Agatha Harkness up in here. Like, let's do that, Hunter.
That's a great choice. I feel like WandaVision would be an awesome stage show. Definitely.
I love it. Okay, what about you though?
Well, I was thinking, like, who's already very musical? What's a very music-centered Avenger? Who do you think I'm going to say, Lisa? Do you know?
Can I just make the assumption that it's Doctor Strange because I really like his hand movements?
Doctor Strange is musical. I was going to go with Star-Lord because Guardians of the Galaxy, the soundtrack.
Of course.
The soundtrack is so iconic. I feel like it would lend itself well to the stage. Maybe some Come and Get Your Love, Hooked on a Feeling, kind of like a jukebox musical, if you will.
I do love that show and Avengers Campus. That actually is super, super fun. Okay, so speaking of fun, the guy who wrote the book for Rogers the Musical, meaning the script, is Hunter Bell, a Tony Award nominated writer for his work on, it's called Title of Show, a hilarious musical about the making of a musical.
Hunter, that's a cool name.
I wonder why you feel that way.
I would love to do a little more trivia with you, Lisa.
Let's do it.
This is about Rogers the Musical. The orchestrations for Rogers the Musical are so lush and fantastic, and the ensemble had to play so many different genres. Can you guess how many pieces are in the Disneyland Resort Orchestra that brought that musical to life? A, 30, B, 40, C, 50, or D, 60?
I'm going to go with D, 60.
Ding, ding, ding. That's correct. What a big orchestra. A 60-piece orchestra? That's huge.
They went big. Go big or go home. Rogers the Musical. Got to check it out. I'm very excited to see this even more now with that.
It's terrific.
I have one for you, Hunter.
Okay.
Inside the awesome Hyperion Theater, each number in Rogers the Musical features a combination of layered two-dimensional scenery, physical set pieces, and the theater's amazing video screen. How big do you think that screen is? A, 1,000 square feet. B, 1,500 square feet. C, 2,200 square feet. D, 2,500 square feet.
I am not good at these kinds of questions. I will say the screen looked massive. I'm going to guess this is a complete guess. I don't know, 1,500 square feet?
Close. It is C, 2,200 square feet.
Okay. Well, it looks enormous.
It's a show in and of itself, a show and a show and even more of a show with that amazing screen there. Honestly, so many things came together to make this show truly unique and memorable and a lot of fun. And it was such a treat to get to hear about it from the folks that pulled the whole thing together.
Oh, it really was. My good friend and Captain America superfan, Peyton Liebler, joined me for an interview with the team at California Adventure. Without further ado, let's meet the team behind Rogers the Musical, book writer Hunter Bell, composer and lyricist Christopher Lennertz, choreographer Sarah Kobayashi, and Disney Live Entertainment Executive Creative Director Dan Fields. We're here at Disney California Adventure, celebrating the debut of Rogers the Musical at Hyperion with four members of the creative team. If each of you could introduce yourselves, please.
I'll go first. My name is Christopher Lennertz, and I am the composer and arranger of the new songs for Rogers the Musical, as well as arranger for the original from Hawkeye, as well as Captain America First Avenger.
I'm Hunter Bell, book writer.
I'm Sarah Kobayashi, and I was lucky enough to be chosen to be choreographer with these fantastic people.
And I'm Dan Fields, executive creative director from Disney Live Entertainment.
Awesome. And Dan, we're actually just going to hop right into it with you. So after watching Hawkeye, so many fans had their fingers crossed this was somehow going to become a reality. And in true Disney Parks fashion, their wishes came true. Can you kind of walk us through what those conversations looked like from the start of, like, are we going to do this? Is this happening? Like, what was that like?
Well, everyone here are also fans. So we had the exact same reaction. We saw Save the City in the Hawkeye show, and we all said, oh, we really would love to see Rogers the Musical. We want to see the rest of it. And then we realized, we're Disney Live Entertainment. We can do that. So we started reaching out to our partners and collaborators, put the team together, and the park said, okay, and here we are at the Hyperion Theater.
That's amazing. I'm so excited that we're here. Hunter, great name, by the way.
Thank you, Hunter. The secret handshake we'll be teaching.
When developing the show, there's so much source material to pull from. The films, existing music from the Captain America projects like The First Avenger, the actual musical elements in Hawkeye, and of course, the comics. What was it like selecting which pieces of Captain America's story would make it into the final cut of Rogers the Musical?
And not just the full-length musical, the 30-minute musical at Hyperion. I give a shout-out first to, I call him our First Avenger, to Jordan Peterson, our director, who conceived this idea beyond what we saw on Hawkeye. And so it was a joy to kind of join into that and meet where Jordan's head was with concepts, meet where Chris's head was with like lyrics and things. Luckily, it's called Rogers the Musical in Hawkeye and not Endgame or The Avengers, because that gives you your first clue. I'm like, oh, we're going to follow Steve Rogers. And I always say love stories make great musical comedy, great musical theater. Also, Steve has an amazing hero's journey from when we meet him in the first film. And while there are lots of adventures and lots of tangent, you know, battles everywhere, and he keeps that compass of Peggy, you know, and so it was just such a great conceit to kind of follow that journey. I toss it to Chris too, because to talk about one of the first songs, I think really informed what the shape of the show took too in this version.
So when Jordan sent us his first concept with a bunch of lyrics already written, the first song that I wrote with Jordan's lyrics was End of the Line, and it was this amazing concept of Cap talking to his older self and looking back on his life. And that really informed, how do we get to this part of the show if we start at the beginning with, you know, First Avenger and Steve before the transformation? And that really sort of informed our journey. And it really led us to, you know, people always say, and I'll say over and over again, the thing with musicals is there's a point where just speaking isn't enough. And the emotions are so strong that you have to sing. And those, like Hunter said, often come from personal wants, dreams, and obviously romance. And that's obviously what Steve Rogers' story has in spades. That's where it all comes from, and that's what guided us the whole way.
I love that you riffed off of, you know, the tradition in musical theaters, the I Want song.
It's literally
so for you
called
to write I Want You as the song right out
easy.
There, puts it on his sleeve.
Yeah. The efficiency of this, too, it's a different kind of brain we had to put on, too, because it's maybe not yet a full-length musical. So I always say with a book, if the book is good, you kind of don't notice it. And if it's working, it is connecting musical ideas. And Chris and Jordan and Alex's score is so incredible, along with the, you know, the songs that we got to work with and inherit and develop into the flow of this version. But the song should eat the scenes, you know, and the songs need to move character forward in a full length or a 30 minute too. And that's what Chris and these guys did so beautifully too, is you're learning about character. It's not just scene, 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 arbitrary song. You're moving plot forward. You're moving character. You're moving I want song. So the score is just beautiful. And I love it. I'm biased, but I think people are going to really be surprised and hopefully fall in love with it like we did.
Well, I know I'm a fan, and it is so amazing to hear all your passions for it. I think it's really apparent that each of you kind of hone in on something very unique that you really focused on when building this. And, you know, one of the featured characters in Rogers the Musical is the infamous Nick Fury, the amazing, amazing benefactor of the Avengers team. When Nick was recruiting the Avengers, you know, he had to put together his own team of super people. And much like the Avengers, you guys are also putting together your own unique Avenger types. Could you guys kind of walk through, this is a question for all of you, what exactly was it like to recruit people, find these people, find all you guys? How did you find each other?
Well, why don't we bounce to Sarah to talk about when picking the dancers to bring that to life, right? You were looking for people to embody a certain energy.
Definitely. And we have a huge group of talented dancers and singers, actors. But to pick the dancers specifically, I had to look to people that would be able to embody the characters, right? But still in the musical theater style. And then you throw in time travel in there, they have to be able to, some of them have to be able to be in the 40s and then in the present. And so there's a bunch of different musical styles, and the dance styles need to reflect that and change with that and sort of create something new. I think the performers really brought that to life. They had to be really versatile, really. Like all the singers dance, the dancers sing a little bit. Like it was a lot of everything. So it was fun to do.
I'll talk a little bit about the creative team, because there's an old adage in the musical theater that the sweet spot for a successful show is a certain group that has worked together, but a certain part of the group that has never worked together, right? That's kind of the balancing act that brings freshness and energy, but also some existing relationships and understanding. So when Jordan said, I know exactly who should be working with us on writing these songs, and went to you, Chris, after you did Wondrous Journeys together, and of course, Jordan and you, Sarah, have worked many times. Hunter and I had worked together on a cruise line show a decade before.
Villains Tonight.
Villains Tonight, plug for the cruise line. But I hadn't worked with you, Chris, and we hadn't had a chance to be in the trenches, Sarah. So that kind of mix of these creators who all really love what they're doing and turn out to really love each other. That really was a great part of untold story behind the scenes. What a great family the creative team became.
I love hearing about the connections between you all. You can tell you're friends and that there's a genuine connection here. I'm going to throw it to Chris one more time. While there are familiar songs like Star Spangled Man and Save the City, the show features new music we've never heard before. So can you take us through those new songs and how the role that each of them play in the story?
Yeah, absolutely. And a huge shout out for that source material that was so inspirational to us. Obviously, the song from Hawkeye, Save the City, that Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman did, is you can't get it out of your head. It's crazy. And then same thing for Star Spangled Man. Alan is just a freak of nature, and he writes catchy tunes like No Tomorrow, and David Zippel is amazing. And just a little shout, because I also did the Agent Carter TV series, and David Zippel and I did the song in episode 209 that Peggy sang. And so it was really great to continue that tradition of music for superheroes and for our universe. And so when it came time to do these new songs, you know, we knew we were going to have the entire span of Steve's life. And I think that really informed us, as well as the fact that we have a director who not only loves superheroes, loves Broadway, but also does theme parks. And so Jordan really is the trifecta, and he knew that we couldn't just write for superhero fans, and we couldn't just write for Broadway lovers. We had to write for people who knew the movies, who didn't know the movies. Old, young, kids, grandparents, everything. And the way to really give something to everyone, I think we all thought, was we needed funny and we needed heart. We needed energy and up-tempo. We needed real emotion. And, you know, in the case of Nick Fury and his song, which is definitely one of our favorites, we needed to bring just every Easter egg we possibly could to fans of the series, the Avengers, of Cap, of everything, and bring it in a way where everyone's like, they did that, and they talked about this, and they brought that, and we did that, as Dan says, we are huge fans. So for us, it was like, we wanted to take that as a challenge. We didn't want to let anybody down. We wanted to make sure that we gave the fans and musical lovers, everybody, we gave them something that they could really say, oh, I love this part, I love that part, and I can take it home and I'm gonna tell all my friends. And that's really what we wanted to do, I think, all of us. And that's really, really where that came from. And then the other thing to definitely talk about, like Sarah mentioned, was the fact that we're going over this, you know, huge span of time, and we had the opportunity to do a 40s big band piece. And then you've got, you know, Alan's piece, which is, you know, full on like World War II. You have the I Want song, which is very much musical theater, and you jump ahead and you do, you know, Nick Fury's song, which is, you know, half Gilbert and Sullivan and half, you know, Uptown Funk or whatever, you know, is that kind of thing, which is so fun. And then we've got this really emotional song, End of the Line, which, you know, which was the first one I wrote, as I mentioned, and it's very much a modern, you know, pop musical theater song. And then there's a Big Love song at the end, which we had to have to give everybody the payoff. Obviously, we're all big Peggy fans and Steve fans, and everybody wants to see that. And I think we gave them that payoff that they really needed.
Absolutely. For me, in choreography, when I saw the Hawkeye version, I was over the moon. I thought, this is amazing, just like what Dan said. But it's a lot to live up to, right? The choreography was fantastic. So how do we do that, get inspiration from that, but yet, you know, do it a little different, do it for our audiences? And the music, obviously, everything, it just came together. So we're thrilled with what it turned out to be.
I'll jump in. I want to say I'm based in New York, and the rest of the team is in California, and we would work kind of like late nights too, and they would send demos, and I'd have my phone, and I heard a ping, and I'd be like, sleepily open my phone, listen to a demo, and burst into tears, and I'd like be so inspired and excited, and I was just like, I'm so excited, and then play it over and over and over again on the demos, and then just to see it come to its full existence in life, absolutely thrilling.
Working at D23, a colloquialism that we always use is for fans, by fans. And that is just something I think so poignant to all of you. And it's really apparent when you see this show that this was made by people that love these amazing, amazing characters. And, you know, it's interesting because these characters, as you all are very well aware, they don't really sing when it comes to these projects that we've seen them in before. So someone like an Agent Peggy Carter or even a Nick Fury, what's it kind of like to create those opportunities to have them sing, have them dance, when truly, again, where do we find those moments?
There was a few times when I thought, are we really doing this? am I really asking the Avengers to dance like this or do this or that? But as we were saying earlier, there's just so much heart in the songs and the stories, and then finding the individual characters and actually what makes them that person, but still pulling out some humor in it. And I think that was such a fun process.
I think the secret to it is really knowing and understanding and loving the characters. So when you find the right way to express them, it feels natural. Like, I think it feels natural for Steve Rogers to sing the way he does and how he phrases both musically and lyrically, and then speaking in the book parts of it. And the same thing even goes for Nick Fury, right? Who is he? How might he approach a song? And so we have fun with it, but we also really worked hard to make sure that it felt true to an imagined version of that very character who sings.
And I think tone is the big, that was probably everyone's first question once we decided we're going to do this. The idea of, you know, the Hawkeye scene was very campy on purpose, because it had to be, because that was what the story revolved around. But then when we said, wait, well, now we're going to tell Steve's whole story and expand this into 30 plus minutes, and we're like, we can't live in camp the whole time, but we also need to realize that we're going to have superheroes singing. And so if you do that, you know, if you turn this into Les Mis, you're in deep trouble. Like, that is the wrong thing to do. But if you made the entire thing a gag, it's also not going to work, because you have to believe, you have to cheer for your characters, you have to want them to fall in love and want them to survive. And I think we really were very cognizant at the beginning, and I think Hunter did an amazing job of, you know, every time there's two or three really, really earnest lines, you know that there's a joke coming. And then when the joke hits, then there's something that there's a little needle of like, oh, this has some ramifications. It has some stakes to it. Being able to walk that tightrope in 30 minutes and sort of it gives the audience a journey. It gives them an adventure. And I think that's what allows you to have your moments where you can sing, have your moments where you get laughs. But also, I mean, I saw somebody crying. I saw a fan crying yesterday when, you know, I won't tell it, but like, it was a moment. And I'm like, okay, we did it. We got a little bit of that emotion in there. And I think we found that balance of tone pretty quickly, quite honestly.
I take inspiration from the cinematic universe, too, because what's so incredible about the films and the world is superheroes doing incredible things, but also there's a wink sometimes. There's, you know, in the middle of a battle too, there's a quip or a line or an eyebrow raise. That's what we love about them all too, because it seems larger than life and very human. And even in extraordinary circumstances, there's a little bit of humor. There's a conversation about, you know, I think about the, you're going to go on a date, Cap, you know, and while there this huge battle's happening. So we get to stand on the shoulders of those films in that universe and create that tone and nudge it a little bit because we're singing and dancing. And I add to you when you talk about a character has to sing because you go further than the emotion you feel. And these are big characters and big stakes. And so it's not possible that these folks would step into singing, I think. And I always say with folks who are like, well, why would they sing? I'm like, I've never been to a birthday party where we all spoke happy birthday. No one's just like, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. We burst into song because that's the real thing, a moment where like, happy birthday, you know, like we sing, we dance in our lives. And because it's joyous, because it's fun, because it expresses something. And it's a celebration. And so sometimes these characters are expressing an I want, a need, a reflection. Sometimes Nick is just having a great time explaining it in this most musical Nick Fury way with the backup starquettes. And that's the great thing about musicals. I love watching people sing and dance too. Yeah.
These stories really, I think, lend themselves to musicals. I've Absolutely. Laughed. I've been laughing while I'm crying. And so I think it just makes sense. Sarah, I'd love to talk to you a little bit more about the choreography. Did you take inspiration from any other projects?
Not so much, but more from the movies. I think, like we all are just fans, I think choosing moments that really show who each character is and just putting them all together in some kind of stringing them together in a combination that makes sense. That's a good backup for the lead if it's Nick Fury singing or if it's the Starquettes, what the characters do. It was a lot of fun figuring out how do I make a fight, a battle look like a dance routine a little bit more and changing those up and finding humor in it. I do some TV episodic shows and choreograph for that. So the comedy in those are so subtle, right? So finding those subtle moments, but making it bigger for the stage was a lot of fun to do as well.
Can I shout out a thing I love? And I've been noticing too of how the Avengers 2 will, you know, you can't compete with the films. You're not trying to. This is a theatrical musical theater endeavor. And I was noticing how the Avengers, like when they're being introduced in a section, create storytelling, all physically come together to create a shape or a picture or a stage picture that sort of like embody or amplify a power or an iconic thing about each of those. So let's just shout out to that. I find new things every time I see it too. So.
Absolutely. And the cast, I mean, they love being the superhero. I mean, who wouldn't, right? You get to go up and dress up like Thor or Black Widow, but they always find moments. Hey, what if my character did this? So that stuff's fun too, because it all adds into it.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think we are witnessing, especially with the choreography, how it's also very central to who that character is and the styling, specifically when it comes to watching how would Agent Carter dance. Like, that's just something really amazing and an opportunity that I think not a lot of fans take lightly, because we love to see these characters in ways never before seen. And, you know, I think one thing too is there's such an emotional tie to the story. And it's really, really inspirational to so many fans across the world. And now they're going to get to see it in an entirely new medium, all thanks to you guys and these amazing cast members that are making this happen. Just ballparking here, do you guys have any really honed in memories of making the show that was just really touching to you and something that you're going to take with you through the rest of your career?
I'll go. I mean, it's sort of a dream come true. When Jordan first called, he said, you know, I need somebody to do new songs for this superhero musical, and I'm directing it. And the Venn diagram of Broadway fans and superhero fans, they're usually very different. And I think we took that as first perhaps a blessing that, like, yes, we're the right group of people to do this, but also we took that as a challenge to win that over and make that Venn diagram get bigger. So when people leave the park, people who weren't Broadway fans but were superhero fans are like, I love that. I want to see this more. And then vice versa. I think it's really the magic moment was sitting in front of this woman yesterday when she watched the show, and it's the one who cried. And we were joking. We're like, oh, it's Rapunzel, because she had this huge long braid behind her head. And the moment when the ship went down and the light goes out and it's just Peggy, Steve. And I look here, I gotta hold my microphone so I could. And she just literally, like, she turned around and she was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, to be able to touch people that way, that was not a new story. Everyone knew that was coming. And we somehow managed to amp up that reaction. That was magical. That's it. I'm done. I don't need to do anything else. Amazing.
I'll jump in. I think two things come to opening those demos and hearing songs for the first time is so exciting. And I think we got something really special here. But also, of the past few days, as I'm watching the show with the audience, I probably am in the business, in show business and writing, because some of my first exposure was seeing entertainment at theme park. I would go to the parks, I'd go to Disney with my family, and I saw the shows. And I'm like, that. I want to do that. And so I've been really emotional working on this project, thinking about the little me's out there and the other folks who get exposure to musical theater and spectacle and see it in a theme park, because it just can reach so many more audience members. And I think it's going to be a lot of folks' first encounter with live theater. And it's so crucial we have that now more than ever as we compete with games and screens. And I love all that too, and social media. But you put away your phone, or maybe you film a little for TikTok, I don't know. But but for a little bit, you just step out of the park and into the darkness with a group of strangers and your friends and family around you, and you get a spectacle. And I think about what that meant to me growing up, of seeing theme park entertainment. The magical moments are kind of happening now, not to be too corny, as I'm watching these audiences and think about, I get to help create that now for somebody else, and someone created that for me. So hopefully it inspires a new generation of writers and creators.
I'm crying now just listening to this, Hunter. Thank you all so much. I think live theater really has this energy to it that's indescribable. You're touching people already. You're going to continue to touch hearts. Thank you all for being here with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
Thanks for talking to us.
Wow. It was surreal seeing the show and then being in the room with the people who created it. How often does that happen? Especially with Peyton. Great job, by the way, Peyton. So now, who better to wrap this up than Marvel Studios president himself, Kevin Feige? Let's listen to him tell us more about the journey of Rogers the Musical.
When we were working on the Hawkeye series for Disney Plus, we needed to find a way to sort of set the timeline for where Clint Barton was post Avengers Endgame. And our writers and our director had this idea that we just meet him in New York City on a vacation with his kids. And the idea came up, and I don't remember exactly who had it now, that he was attending a performance of Rogers the Musical. Rogers the Musical ended up becoming this in-world joke across many of our movies and shows, and presented the events of Avengers and the story of Steve Rogers in musical form in a way that was both fun and tongue-in-cheek, but also we wanted to be moving and special. So when we finally realized we were going to mount this musical production for the first episode of our Hawkeye series, I called somebody that I had only met very briefly at an event once, named Mark Shaman. He was a composer who I was a big fan of almost my entire life. He would do film scores. He also did amazing Broadway scores. And we said, by any chance, would you be interested in doing a fun, serious, kind of silly, but memorable sequence at the top of this show? And thankfully, he said yes. What we ended up getting was a great song that when he sent the demos, I could not get out of my head. And for years, we would sing it to ourselves, and people would have no idea what we were talking about. And finally, the show came out. The musical number was a standout sequence. We ended up reprising it at D23 that year, live on stage, and was so successful that some of our friends in Imagineering and at Disneyland came up to us and said, hey, we should do this in the park. And I thought they were kidding. And then I realized they weren't, and I was overwhelmed with excitement because the parks are very important to me. And anytime we do anything in one of our shows or films, we think about how it could be utilized in the parks. They have taken Rogers the Musical and expanded it beyond my wildest dreams. And I can't wait for fans and guests to finally get to enter a theater, take their seat, and just like Clint Barton did, enjoy Rogers the Musical.
Wow, that was so incredible. All the amazing people that we got to talk to. Hunter, amazing. And again, a special shout out to Peyton. That was all so, so much fun. And you know what time it is. It's time for 5 fantastic things to watch this weekend, presented by State Farm. For complete details, visit d23.com. Remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
First up, Lisa, Never Say Never with Jeff Jenkins, a new travel series that just dropped on Disney Plus and Hulu. Travel journalist Jeff Jenkins didn't step foot on a plane until he was 20 years old. But once he did, he started living by his mantra, life begins where your comfort zone ends. His mission is to inspire those who look like him to travel without fear and push past their perceived limitations to experience everything the world has to offer. That's very inspiring to me. I want to live more like Jeff Jenkins.
I'll definitely want to check that one out. I agree. That sounds really cool. Next, The Jewel Thief. It's an original documentary out now on Hulu. The Jewel Thief is the unbelievable firsthand account of Gerald Blanchard, one of the most creative, calculating, and accomplished criminal masterminds in modern history. With savant-like skill and peculiar pride, Blanchard's decades-long crime spree ranged from shoplifting to bank robbery to the theft of a royal crown jewel. Something I think we'll want to check out.
Yeah. These first two, the lives they've lived are incredible.
Very true.
This next one is very near and dear to me. Imagine Dragons Live in Vegas. It's an original documentary that debuts on Hulu this Friday. Far from the days of playing in dive bars and casinos across the Las Vegas Strip, Imagine Dragons returns home to perform at the city's largest stage, Allegiant Stadium, in a triumphant concert film that showcases the band's rise to fame and the city that helped shape their sound. I grew up in Vegas. I was one of the people at those dive bars seeing Imagine Dragons. I've probably seen them 4 times live, so I really cannot wait to check this out.
That's awesome, Hunter. I love it. We're learning even more about you. Next is Super Kitties. A new episode airs this Friday, July 14th at 8:30 a.m. on Disney Channel and at 1:25 p.m. on Disney Junior. The episode's 2 stories include Lost Spark, in which Sparks falls off his Super Kitty kit, and the Super Kitties help him get the courage to ride it again. And Bitsy Belly Ache, where Bitsy eats too many treats and can't help the team stop Lab Rat. Pretty adorable.
Sounds adorable. Okay, another Las Vegas thing. This is fantastic. 2023's AT&T WNBA All-Star Game on ABC this Saturday at 8:30 p.m. hosted by the defending champion Las Vegas Aces at the Michelob Ultra Arena.
Las Vegas sounds like it's the place to be.
It is. Okay, those were 5 fantastic things to watch. Thanks again for listening to D23 Inside Disney. Don't forget to like and share this episode wherever you listen or subscribe.
If you want to chat with us, hashtag D23 Inside Disney. And for all the latest Disney info, check out D23.com. We'll be back soon with more fantastic guests on an all-new episode of D23
Inside Disney.